And we are joined now by the winning crew chief today of the number 20, the Walt Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing, Adam Stevens. Adam, incredible race out there. Certainly edge of the seat for your fans out there, but how about for you on the pit box as you're watching those final laps unfold?
Yeah, it was. I think I fell off the edge of my seat a couple times, especially there, what was it, maybe 10, 15 to go when we were up in the top three or four and then fell back outside of the top 10. I thought we were toast, but Bell just kept his head down and really dug deep all day. And, you know, the first part of the race certainly didn't have track position, and we just didn't have the balance very close. And he stayed patient with us and just took what he could get. Didn't put himself in any bad spots, and we just got the car a little bit better, and closer we got to the front, he was able to work some magic and dig deep and make it happen.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, we'll get a microphone to you. We're going to start here with Cameron.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. Adam, we talked on Friday about just having a clean day and executing when you need to. Just talk about Christopher Bell's just racecraft today and being able to come from the back and work your way up to the front by the end of the race.
Yeah, I touched on it there a second ago, but I mean, even think back to last week, right? We were in position there at the end of the Daytona 500 to contend for that win and got a bad push there and ended up in the fence. But these speedway races are tough, and you have to make good decisions for the entirety of the day to have a whole race car to race with at the end, let alone put yourself in position with a solid race car. And he was able to do that. And like I said, you know, the first part of the race, we had to start so deep in the field and did not have track position and had a pretty crappy pit stall selection because of it. And, you know, he just stayed really, really patient and never asked more out of his car than it was capable and never put himself in a spot that he was going to regret. And as it turned out, we had a competitive car with decent balance at the end, and he was just really on top of getting the runs and finding the pushes from behind and taking those runs and passing cars and getting himself cleared on the other side. So that was a real testament to how much work he's put into it. I think we saw a little bit of it last week and then a continuation of it this week here at the Speedway races.
Go to the middle, the Peter.
Peter Straw to TSJ Sports. Adam, how does getting a win and being locked in the playoffs in week two change strategy for the rest of the regular season?
It frees you up a bunch. You know, I said this in the offseason when asked that question too. You know, the position that our team is in, we expect to run up front. So we wouldn't think that even if we didn't win a race that we would really be counting points when it came time for the playoffs to start. What we really need to be thinking about is winning that regular season championship and stockpiling as many bonus points as we possibly can. And this is a great start tonight to win the second race of the year. Probably a track that maybe we didn't think that we had circled as far as a potential win. So to come in here and really take one away from them is really good.
We're going to go next to Bob, and then we'll go to the young lady in the back. Start with Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I have two. The first, why is this so good and Daytona seems so frustrating? Like, what's the difference in the tracks or the way they run
that makes it? I think you have a couple things going on here. Daytona, the length of the runs is outside of the fuel window. So it puts everybody really trying to make the fastest green flag stop they can. So up until the green flag stop, nobody's racing. Everybody's running around like a bunch of buffoons. I think it's horrendous, and I wish we could do something to change it. And the simplest thing we could do to change it is change the run length to match the fuel cell, match the amount of laps we can run on a tank of fuel hard. And you saw that in stage one today where you didn't see a bunch of people limping around scared to make a green flag stop. You saw a bunch of people running hard. And then we had cautions in stage two and three that negated that green flag stop. But the other thing is this track it's a full mile, damn near smaller than Daytona. There's not a lot of places to hide here. Things happen really fast. You don't need seven or eight cars to be fast. And it takes away the manufacturer allegiances because it's just not a pack-style race. The whole field's in a pack, but you can't separate and make decisions for the benefit of six or seven or eight or ten cars.
And, you know, NASCAR didn't throw the caution on the final lap yesterday. They told everybody that today, hey, same situation, the caution's coming out. Did you kind of feel like you knew if the caution was going to come out? And do you feel like, you know, or do you just have to race and whatever's the call is the call is.
Yeah, you know, I don't have control of that button. I think they do the best job they possibly can. It's not easy. And they're trying to give the fans a checkered flag finish, but they don't want to put anybody in danger either. So they're trying to assess if the field's going to come back around. They're trying to assess how hard the person may have hit. You know, it's a lot of decision-making to make in a split second. So they do the best they can.
Go to the back.
Sydney Redden, the podium finish. So JGR as an organization allowed their drivers to compete in dirt racing again, and Christopher had competed out in Tulsa and won races. Do you believe that helped, like, obviously he's a race winner anyway, but just starting the year off as the new year helped that mentality?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I absolutely think it does on a couple fronts. You know, he's a race car driver. And for him to stay sharp, he needs to drive a race car. And cutting simulator laps just really doesn't do that. You know, you wouldn't ask a professional golfer to lock his clubs in the closet for 3 months over the winter and show up at the first tournament. I bet he wouldn't play very well. But for him to compete and stay sharp, he has to be on a racetrack racing. And there is some risk that comes with that. But it's to our benefit. It's not only to our risk, you know. So I think staying sharp and enjoying yourself is the other component. You know, he doesn't have a lot of other hobbies. He loves to drive race cars. He loves to work on race cars, drive race cars, watch race cars, and that's what he loves to do. So, you know, when he has downtime, that's what he wants to do. And when I have downtime, I have a list of things I want to do, and I think we're all a little bit different in that regard. And it's nice to have an avenue to clear your head and focus on something in between races.
Jacob?
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Adam, off to your right here. 8 months ago, you and Christopher were the last JGR team in Victory Lane. You're in Victory Lane tonight. There was a lot made of that gap. I know Gabe Hart being moved to the competition director role was in part because of all that. From your seat, what was the level of, whether it was concern, discomfort? I mean, it took probably longer than you wanted to get back to this point, but has there been kind of any four-alarm fire feeling at all in this period?
Not from my team's perspective. You know, that is a long time. That's a long time for the organization to go, for sure, and a long time for this 20 team to go. But we were super competitive in that gap and had a lot of opportunities slip through our fingers. For a litany of reasons that I won't even go through. So for us, we didn't feel like it was lack of performance. On occasion, it was lack of execution, and on other occasions, it was just pure circumstance. And you're going to have that. You know, we had that today in our favor. So I feel like the changes that were made in the offseason are nothing but a colossal positive for Joe Gibbs Racing, for my team, and for the future success of our company. And I think that maybe we've seen a little bit of that this year already. You know, we were pretty sporty as a whole in Daytona, and we certainly all qualified better. And we had competitive cars here today once we got the balance close. And probably not the two best examples, but, you know, we get six or eight races into the season, I think you're going to see a lot more competitive Joe Gibbs Racing.
To build off that, obviously you said small sample size still, but what do you feel that Gabe Hart brings to the organization as a whole in the position that he's in now that maybe you might not have been able to get when he was specifically the 11 crew chief?
Sure. Well, I think there's a couple things there. You know, number one, for Gabe Hart filling that role, we haven't gotten rid of anybody. You know, all the same players are still there. We just shored up that competition side with another guy. And it's a guy that's fresh off the box that was competing at a high level. You know, it's hard to stay sharp and know exactly what the race teams need if you're far removed from it from a time standpoint. And he is certainly not. He's more of a visionary, probably more than myself. He thinks more ahead in that regard. And, you know, I think having that guy that's constantly there at the shop chopping wood when we're not there to chop the wood is a big deal. And I think he's really in tune and aligned with what the race teams need and what we don't need and how we can allocate those resources. You know, it's a resource allocation game anymore, and he's certainly tuned in to what we need.
Well, Adam, congratulations on the victory. Good luck next week at COTA.
Thank you all very much.
And we're going to continue on the post-race press conference for today's Ambetter Health 400 with the winning car owner of the number 20 Toyota, Coach Joe Gibbs. Coach, I mean, you had to experience the full range of emotions in this race. How sweet is it to get into victory lane after such an exciting finish?
Well, it is, and it's so hard. I'll put it that way. The day started off with us yesterday, I guess you could say, instead of today, with qualifying, and I don't think we've ever qualified that far back, all of our cars. And so we knew we were going to have to do a lot of work today. Really proud of our teams. Hated it for 54 and tie and get caught up in a wreck. It was Saia's first race for us, and they're located here in Atlanta. We had a great hospitality. Really appreciate those guys. We're looking for a long road with them. Appreciate them. But I really felt like our other three cars, we just kind of kept fighting all day long, worked our way up. And eventually, with restrictor plate, and particularly here at Atlanta, you got to have things go your way. And at the end, for Christopher, he did a good job just keeping us in it, the top five, and then had some good things happen to us at the end.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. Raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll go to Jacob and then to Bob.
Jacob Zuman, Race Face Digital. Joe, to your right here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you mentioned it, full range of emotions, but to see Christopher be the one to put this organization back in victory lane after almost a year. I mean, Adam was in here earlier and said he didn't feel a sense of panic per se, but what was the sense of urgency maybe behind the scenes as you guys have made these changes and fought so hard to get any of the teams back in victory lane?
Yeah, well, you made a good point, too. We made changes. I think many times in pro sports, you analyze your year and where you are. And, you know, in our case, we felt like we needed to reorganize some things and do things a different way. Last year, we led a lot of laps, but we didn't win races like we should. And so we went to work in the off season, moved Chris up, kind of reorganized and kind of redid the 54 car, and we made some other changes. So it's great for us to get off to a good start here with the second race of the year and to get a win. I just really appreciate every time I've been in the winner's circle calling our sponsors. You know, it's for us, you got to have great partners if you're going to be able to race. DeWalt has been with us for a long time. It was great getting them in the winner's circle. Rheem and JR, appreciated them. And so I wind up calling Mark Reesers. And so we got a great team of sponsors on that car. Appreciate Christopher, the way he hung in there. Adam and Christopher have a lot of experience. And hopefully we get off to this kind of a start. We can have a great year.
What qualities, you mentioned moving Gabe Hart up, what qualities do you feel like he brings to that bigger picture role that maybe you couldn't fully explore when he was more focused on Denny's car?
Yeah, we felt like that we needed some help for our crew chiefs in general, all four of them. They're so caught up on their cars, and they're so focused on it. We felt like by getting somebody to look at things overall, we might be able to give them more help. And so that was our reason for that. I think Chris was the right guy. We tried to talk him into it about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and we were able to get it done this time.
Go to Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Christopher seemed much happier going into this year because he got to race during the off season. I'm curious, how hard of a decision was that for you to let him do that? And did you watch any of those sprint car races, or did you turn your head away?
No, I didn't watch them. But I think as much as anything, we have three of our guys are heavily involved in dirt stuff coming up. And I felt like that the thing that I probably made the decision on, they're really focused just on racing. They love it. and they talked about the off season, being able to, you know, get a chance to race some dirt stuff would help fill their time and get them excited about things. And so we'll kind of see where it leads, but I made that decision, and we'll kind of see what happens with it. Yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah.
Final question here come from Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. Along those lines, Ty obviously is a dirt racer. Did that influence your decision a little bit, having your grandson, you know, coming up and racing in dirt like he does?
We sat down with all three of them. I did. But obviously, Ty, yeah, definitely. He had not really come up racing dirt, but he kind of got real excited about it here lately. He was up at Millbridge doing some stuff and wanted to kind of expand on that. And so Christopher obviously is always heavily involved with it. Chase right now has a team, but has kind of backed off. So that's kind of where we are with all that. Yeah.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the triumph. Good luck next week in Austin.
Yeah, thank you to all of our sponsors. Toyota, just really appreciate Toyota and the partnership. It's awesome to have great sponsors. I think as much as anything, when you get in the winner's circle, you see everybody that kind of went with you, supports you, and it's great being in there, not for yourself as much, but for them. Appreciate Toyota, DeWalt, Rheem, like I said, and Reesers and Interstate. So thank y'all. Hey, appreciate all of you. Thank you.
And we are now joined by today's race-winning driver, Christopher Bell, for today's Amber Better Health 400. We're going to go right into questions. We're going to start with John and then go to Cameron.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. So, Christopher, as a noted lover of super speedway racing, there were multiple other drivers that got out of their car and said, dude, that was fun. So from your perspective, comparing it to Daytona, Talladega, I mean, what was the biggest difference, and did you have fun before the win, actual win?
I mean, certainly that was the most this is the most fun style of speedway racing that I've done in my career. It's different. It's different than Daytona, Talladega. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the way that the lanes open up. And there, it seems like for the most part, there's always somewhere to go. And you can take your runs, take your momentum, and the top opens up, the bottom opens up, and you're able to, you know, for the most part, if you do a good job driving and your car's handling well, you can move forward. So, I will echo that and say that this is the most fun speedway, that we have.
Go to Cameron and then to Bob.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. Christopher, I want to know from you, obviously, you know, dirt racing doesn't compare to this style, but getting back behind the wheel in dirt and having that early start to the season, the reaction time and just being able to make quick decisions, obviously that translates to NASCAR, but just how important is it to actually get behind the wheel instead of just it being 3 months of, you know, sim work before then?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel, you know, the best I have as a race car driver, and I'm sure that some of it or part of it is due to the fact that I've been racing through the off season. So it's a dream come true to be able to drive for Joe Gibbs Racing in these Cup Series cars. And I'm honored and privileged to be able to have some fun outside of the Cup Series cars now. And I hope that, you know, I can make this the best year ever and prove to, you know, the company that it's the right thing for me to do to be out there racing.
Go to Bob, then the Jacob, then the Peter.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Carson Hocevar didn't throw a lot of other drivers today. And here, there you are battling him for, you know, you don't know when the cautions come out. Are you treading lightly around him? How do you race somebody who maybe, I don't know if you're not sure what he's going to do?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's been around enough now that you know he's going to, you know, be the aggressor. If there's a hole, he's going to take it. If there's not a hole, he's going to make one. And he, you know, ultimately gave me the shove to get, you know, pass or break through, you know, to lead the side draft tandem with myself and Kyle down the back straightaway. And then I didn't realize Kyle had opened up the bottom like he did getting into three and allowed Carson to sneak middle of three wide. But I was looking in my mirror and I saw them crashing and I figured that it was a matter of winning the side draft battle to the yellow flag. And I felt like I had it whenever the yellow came out, but that you never know until they make it official. And the last thing that I wanted to do was go out there and you know, let my emotions get to me and feel like I won the race and then them come back and say I didn't. So yeah, it was bonkers, that's for sure.
Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Christopher, two for you. First, kind
there,
of
there you are.
There I am. Kind of expanding on the caution at the end of the race situation. A lot's been made of that over these first 2 weeks of the season. And I know there was a lot of driver conversation after Daytona and even after the Xfinity race yesterday. Where have you sat in this discussion, and were you one of the drivers that had something to say after last week and the fact that you guys were allowed to race back to the flag at the 500?
Well, I wasn't part of that.
Fair.
I wrecked out a couple laps earlier, but so no, I wasn't really, whenever you're out of the race, I was in the infield care center. I was shocked that they allowed them to race back to the checkered whenever the leaders wrecked. We have been down this road before, and I myself got crucified at Talladega a couple years ago because the yellow that they wrecked, and I was able to, you know, avoid the wreck, and I advanced positions. And, you know, they were like, okay, well, from now on, whenever the cars wreck on the last lap, the yellow's coming out so that we don't endanger people, and I think it's the right call. So, I think it just stems from the Thursday night duel where Eric Jones and Austin Cindric had that finish. They threw the yellow, you know, a couple feet before the line. And then fast forward to the Daytona 500, they'd been going on a couple years of not finishing under green, so they were determined to try and finish under green. But I think that, you know, you don't want to endanger the drivers, and throwing the yellow flag to not make the back half of the field race for position that means so much, you know, on the white flag lap, I think it's the right call.
And you sit here tonight back in victory lane exactly 8 months after your win at New Hampshire last year. Which
I am glad that we don't have to hear about that. Well, Joe Gibbs Racing hasn't won since June. That's all I've heard. So I'm very happy to end that narrative.
So in that narrative, though, obviously a lot of changes have been made and, you know, seemingly have helped so far. But from your seat, you were the one JGR car that really performed well down the stretch last year. Was there ever any real I don't want to say overwhelming urgency, but sense of worry that you weren't where you needed to be, I guess?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's why I got so frustrated with all of you guys saying JGR hasn't won since June. They haven't won since June. Well, you look at Gateway was coulda, shoulda win. You look at what else we had, Las Vegas. That was definitely a coulda, shoulda win. There's a ton of races littered throughout that second half of the year that, you know, at least my team had. I know from firsthand, and I'm sure Denny and Martin I don't know about Ty, but I know that the other guys probably had those same races. So it was, it is relieving to finally end that narrative, and we have now won on February 20-something, 2025. So not winless anymore.
It's officially the 23rd. Let's go to Peter, and then we'll go to Doug.
Peter Strada, TSJ Sports. Christopher, you're no stranger to taking the win in the second week of the season, but how does that change your mental approach for the rest of this regular season?
Yeah, it's it really doesn't change our approach at all. And leaving last year, we set out on winning more races. We know that we need to win more races. And frankly, Atlanta Motor Speedway was not one that we had circled. So I'm glad that we were able to get one here. But if we don't win another race before the playoffs start or, you know, the end of the year, then it's not going to be a good season for us. So we're here to stay, and we need to, you know, prove that. We need to you know, walk the walk and quit talking the talk. But, you know, the Atlanta Motor Speedway, that comes down to Eric Almirola, really. He's been a huge addition to our team at Joe Gibbs Racing, and I'm just beyond thankful to have him as a mentor. And, you know, he's really helped myself in my mental state whenever it comes to these races, because I normally don't enjoy coming to the Super Speedway stuff, and Eric has done a great job of making sure that I am the best Speedway racer that I can be.
We'll go to Doug and then to Jerry.
Thank you, Matt. Doug Turnbull from PRN and the Five to Go podcast. At Daytona, I feel like Toyota's changed the narrative about their qualifying, because there was a lot of fast Toyotas there.
And then we came to Atlanta.
but then you didn't run as well at Daytona. Then you come to Atlanta, qualify the back, and run up front. So what's the difference for the driver's seat behind the wheel? I know you're not going to give us a setup sheet here, okay? But what's the difference behind the wheel that your car's doing? And does it have to be significantly different at Atlanta because handling's so much more important here?
Honestly, I am just struggling to put the correlation together between qualifying and racing. And, you know, the whole motto is, if you don't qualify well, you're going to race well. And if you qualify well, oh my gosh, is the car going to drive good? Well, you know, the JGR cars qualified really well at Daytona, and we raced how we did, however that was. And then here we qualified as bad as it gets, and it raced pretty similar, I would say. So, and then the Penske's, they've been the best of the Penske cars have been the best of both worlds. They've qualified well, they race well. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about qualifying or what to think about it. But at this point, I genuinely just don't think it matters, because I've had good races qualifying bad, and I've had bad races qualifying good.
Jerry
Jordan, kicking the tires.net. So you said you have a list circled. Tell us what that list is and why is Vegas at the top?
A list circled of the races, yeah. So, well, Coda is a good place to start. Honestly, we're just getting into the bread and butter of what, you know, the 20 car likes. You know, Coda should be a strong track. Phoenix, Vegas, Darlington, Homestead, all of these tracks coming up in the early part of the season is where we think we can, you know, compete for wins and do good, score a lot of points. And Atlanta was not one of those racetracks that we had circled. So it's very refreshing to be able to get one early in the season, especially one where we didn't expect to win at. So hopefully we can, you know, keep the ball rolling.
With Vegas coming up in a couple of weeks, do you feel like that one kind of owed you after we talked last year?
Well, I felt like Vegas has owed me one for a very long time. I go back to the Truck Series. I never won a Vegas. The Xfinity Series, I've never won a Vegas. In the Cup Series, I've never won a Vegas. But I would be curious to see the stats. I feel like I've led more laps at Vegas than I have any other track without any wins at. So, yeah, we'll try again in a couple of weeks, and hopefully it plays out a little bit different.
We'll go to your right, to Cameron.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. You never know when your next one comes at the Cup level, and, you know, when the schedule came out for this year, New Hampshire and Gateway were in the playoffs. So
yeah, I'm excited about that.
Now that you do have that win out of the way, just how much more does that get you excited about the postseason, knowing that you have that win now in the bag and are in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Yes, it is refreshing to be locked in, but I know I go back to what I said earlier. If we don't win another race before the playoffs, you know, we're not performing up to the standards that we hold ourselves to. So you know, the Gateway and Loudon being in the playoffs are two great racetracks for me, and I'm super excited about the round of 16 and the round of 12. I'm kind of dreading the round of 8, but You know, hopefully we score points, and we need to bank a lot of playoff points before we get to those races and help our cause whenever we get to the round of eight.
Go next to Matt and then to Chris.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnet. I'm actually fascinated by the Eric Almirola element there. I'm curious, how often is he, like, in y'all's meetings? Is it just super speedways or places where he's good, or is it every week? I mean, what is his addition?
Exactly? Yeah, so it's every week. And I would say the majority of his input and expertise has come on the speedway side, because he came from a very successful super speedway organization and manufacturer, and he's provided a lot of valuable input into my driving style, Adam's setup choice, and, you know, our strategy. So he has tremendously helped myself in the 20 car as a, you know, speedway racer and speedway team. But he's there every week. Every week he's going through the debrief and talking about what he sees and what, you know, we need to be better. And he's just a super smart and experienced guy. So he's very valuable to have. And I'm, you know, very grateful to have him on our team. He's been a huge resource to us the last couple of years.
Go to the middle of Chris.
ChrisPankHeadShots.com. Christopher, can you start 32nd here in June and still win the race, or is the mentality change?
No, I think you can. I mean, Blaney, he spun out with, what, 10 to go? Was that 10 to go he spun out? Is that right?
Somewhere around there.
And he drove all the way up through there. So, I you know, I think if your car's driving good and you do a good job driving, you can make your way through the field. And, you know, the beginning part of the race, I started in the 30s, and I could get up to the teens, but then I would stall out and just couldn't figure out the moves that I needed to make to get up front. I think that here at Atlanta, this package, for whatever reason, at this racetrack, has allowed the cream to rise to the top a little bit better. I'm careful saying that, because I don't feel the same way about Daytona Talladega, but here it certainly works.
Do the temperatures make that much of a difference between here and June, or is that just something that everybody just likes to talk about and use that as an excuse?
It doesn't feel like it makes that much of a difference, honestly.
Well, Christopher, we've got one more to Bob here in the middle.
You were kind of, Bob Hocker, Shock Sports, you were a little bit far behind the Cindric Larson deal, but I'm curious if you saw it and could kind of see your view.
What was that, the wreck off of turn two?
Yeah, right.
I'll be honest, I wasn't focused on that. I saw them. Cindric got into the wall off of two, and then he spun across the racetrack. I saw it out of my peripheral, but I didn't see exactly what happened.
Okay. Well, Christopher, congratulations on the win. Good luck next week in COTA.
Thank you, guys.